Landa we no take our way, Nicaragua.
Okay.
So you should just on a lighter moment. So I think we are serious with also reviving the mining activities in Kabwe. And just to give Jerry some comfort, we have mining companies that are doing roads on the copper belt, but of course we have through the PPP model, almost all the towns will be touched by the PPP model in terms of road infrastructure on the copper belt, and even, you know, in central province because of the Ndola Lusaka dual carriageway. So don't worry about Jere, Kabwe is very much part of the plans of government to revive even mining activities there.
Is the export tracking framework, is that still existent? Is it working?
The what?
Export tracking framework.
Definitely, and we are going to enhance it. Actually, the Minerals Commission Act enhances a lot of these activities. One understatement of production figures will be working now. It's a one government approach. ZRIA, Ministry of Mines, we have to make sure that people are exporting and reporting the right material that they are exporting, because that also is a way in which people have been, stealing from the Zambian people. So really, we are very serious on that point.
Okay.
Through the Minerals Commission Act.
Okay. Yeah. Mumba asks, and this is a very good question.
Yes.
Can we admit that copper in Zambia is for foreigners? Let's focus on other resources like gold, sugilite. Maybe those can be.
Copper is not for foreigners. That is not correct.
Okay.
That is not correct.
I think maybe it's the mining of copper.
No,
that has been seen by many. To favor.
No.
Investors.
That is not correct.
Mm.
That is not correct.
Mm.
Whatever we are doing, what's the name of the
person? Bamumba.
Bamumba. Whatever we are doing is not favoring foreigners. First, what we did is to get these mines back on track. In fact, we have shown you examples of the Mopani deal where the shareholding is 49-51. You as Zambians, you own 49% of Mopani. That is almost half-half. But we have to invite an investor to help us invest more money in that thing, because ourselves, we didn't have the resource to invest in it. We were debt-stressed, we are distressed, and all those things. So really, it is not that we are favoring foreigners for mining copper. That is not the correct position.
Is it 51-49%?
Yes.
Percent share of exports, or is that a little different?
So it's the share of
share of the mine is 49-51, but in terms of what's mined and the
so finance. We share profits.
Okay.
We share profits, but apart from that, we collect taxes from there.
Okay.
We collect mineral royalty. Mm-hmm. We collect income tax from the mine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually the benefit is more. That's why we are pushing for the local content. You know, the local content to allow more suppliers, more contractors. That is also money coming to Zambians. That is part of the profits coming to. So when you do the numbers, you discover that we could even be 55%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Minister, I need to let you go because I need to go into news.
All right.
But I would love, if we could arrange with your team so that you can come in for Let the People Talk much longer.
We need a much longer period.
So that people can call in. So I'll have a chat with your team.
No problem.
And they can relate to you.
No problem. Thank you very much. Enjoyed my interview.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just one last thing. Sorry, I saw you on the floor of Parliament.
Yeah.
You were having a statement around suppliers and foreign, local.
Yes.
Has that issue now been sorted out? Because I know that there were local suppliers who were pretty upset that they were not able to supply. I think it was Mopani mine.
Yeah.
That
is being dealt with. As a matter of fact, Luigi, just to inform the nation, the Geological and Minerals Development Act empowers me to do an SI to create thresholds in terms of suppliers and contractors, Zambian suppliers and contractors. We are just finalizing the SI itself, and I'm ready to sign like yesterday, so that we have now thresholds that I think that noise will go when that is done.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you once again. Thank you very much. It's 8:03. News is next. Sorry for starting a little late. I apologize. But the news is next.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
All year, planning, training for this one thing.
The 18th edition of the Absa Cup is here. In the football stands, we stand as one. Now, it's time to get together for the ultimate soccer experience, the Absa Cup. Follow the action this March to May and watch it on Supersport, DSTV and GoTV. Grab your tickets now at ShopRite CompuTickets.
Your story matters. Absa.
Professor Bisek Piri says opposition unity crucial for 2026 elections. Germany's Savings Bank Foundation urges Zambia to align with global sustainability standards to attract capital. Tens of thousands of white South Africans seek U.S. asylum amid land reform fears. To present the news, I'm Lucivilo Gondwe. Political analyst Professor Bisek Piri has urged opposition political parties to form a united front ahead of the 2026 general elections, pointing to the Lumezi parliamentary by-election, where the opposition intends to field a single candidate, as a strategic model for winning an election. Professor Piri notes that Zambia's political landscape is overcrowded with opposition parties, making unity essential to mount an effective challenge against the ruling party in order to enhance the country's democracy. He has described the Lumezi collaboration as a commendable and strategic decision and urged opposition leaders to adopt a similar approach for the 2026 elections. Professor Piri has emphasized the importance of carefully selecting a consensus candidate and avoiding internal divisions as the country heads toward the polls.
When they come together, it means the political, the democratic dispensation becomes stronger, because now people be looking at opposition versus the party in power, but also looking at what is it that this alliance, the current candidate that they've staged, what is it that they are saying, what message are they giving to the people, which is better than what the government, the party in power has. So that way the democratic dispensation becomes stronger.
Meanwhile, governance expert Gilbert Chisenga is optimistic that the unified approach could help the opposition secure victories in upcoming by-elections. Mr. Chisenga has advised all political parties to uphold discipline and remain focused, stressing that a cohesive and organized opposition is key to posing a credible challenge to the ruling party in 2026.
They're going to go into Lumezi, actually it's going to give a lot of headaches to the ruling UPND. And any victory in any by-election actually propels the confidence going into general elections. So that in itself also propels the confidence, even in the voters. A lot of Zambians have been calling for the united and solid opposition front.
A consortium of opposition political parties recently announced that the opposition will field one candidate in the Lumezi parliamentary by-election slated for 26th June 2025 to avoid splitting votes. The German Savings Bank Foundation for International Cooperation has emphasized the importance of Zambia aligning its financial systems with global sustainability standards to attract capital, as the global investment landscape increasingly prioritizes environmental, social, and governance ESG factors. In an interview with Phoenix News, the foundation project officer, Joe Banda, has noted that sustainable finance has become a key component of modern financial markets, and that institutions and governments around the world are directing investment toward achieving environmental. Mr. Banda has highlighted that ESG investing has grown significantly, with more than $41 trillion in assets under management now incorporating sustainability considerations. He explained that Zambia, like many developing nations, faces a dual challenge of advancing economic development while managing escalating environmental risks. Mr. Banda warns that with a large portion of the population dependent on agriculture, a sector highly vulnerable to climate shocks, the cost of inaction could be severe. He says there's need to build resilience, not only in agriculture, but also across the broader financial sector.